here's what it says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Here's what I want to talk about today, what God had in mind, what God had in mind. This letter titled to Titus is one of Paul's what would be called pastoral epistles. And when you hear pastoral epistles, it simply means that Paul is writing this letter to someone who's serving as a pastor. And this young man, Titus, he's a young fella, and he's serving in Crete. And he's there pastoring for the first time, and this is a brand new church. And when you got a brand new preacher pastor with a brand new congregation, that's and one who has pastored before but who's sitting with me now just said, Lord help. And so Paul writes this letter to him to try to help him. His other son, when you read Timothy, there's no question when you read Timothy, Timothy was on the verge of quitting. Arvana, I really believe that Timothy had already typed out his resignation and was clicking attach and getting ready to send it off. I quit. Because when you got a young preacher with a young congregation and they both just getting started, you need some help. And so Paul, when he writes this, it's Paul's personal instruction. It's his personal instruction. And in the book of Titus, in this letter, here's what you're going to see. Brother Ron, one of the things Paul does is Paul spends some time helping him to organize leadership. Because the truth is, you can't lead a congregation. You can't do ministry by yourself. Matter of fact, ministry ain't ministry unless there's somebody with you. You'll catch that in a second. And Paul spends some time and to share with him that when you lay your hands on folk, don't just lay your hands on anybody. Please, don't pick leaders because they're cute or fine. Don't pick leaders because you think they got some money. Because a lot of people who got it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to release it. Don't pick people that live any old kind of way. Make sure they're individuals of character. And another thing that he said when you pick a leader, make sure it's somebody that loves the word of God and handles it right. You got to have people that understand and love the word of God and is willing to learn it, love it, and then lead by using it. Y'all write that outline down, it's for free. Here's the second thing Paul does. Paul says to him in the book of Titus, he explains to him, he outlines expected behavior. He says to Titus, Titus, there's some things in leadership and even in the congregation, there's a way we are supposed to behave. And one of the things he talked about in leadership. He says, now, there's two things you got to deal with. One, you got to make sure you confront false teaching. When folk are derailed from the word and will of God, you have to confront it. Deal with the false teaching. And then y'all got to learn how to relate to each other. And he lays it out real clear that he, in essence, he's really saying, fellas, don't be having Bible study with somebody with the opposite sex. And I can't tell you the number of times young people in their zeal said, Pastor, we studying together. And I said, don't do it. Because that Bible is going to end up on the floor. And the two of y'all going to end up on the couch. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. He says, let the older women teach the younger women. Older men teach the younger men. He tells us, here's who she is. She's either your mother in the faith or your sister in the faith. Or your daughter in the faith. Y'all got it? He spends time helping them to know there's a behavior that's expected. The third thing he talks about, he says there's God's wanting to do something in the community. There's an objective that God is wanting to accomplish in the world. You'll see all those three things when you read these three chapters. You'll see him encouraging how to organize and the kind of leaders you ought to choose. You'll see him talking about the expectations of behavior, and you'll hear him talking about what God is trying to do in the community. God's wanting to do something through you guys. And in verse number 14 is where I'm trying to get to the end of verse 14. In verse 14, I'm going to read it one more time. It says, who, meaning God, gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people who are zealous of good works. Now, don't get scared, but I want to walk you through to make sure that you understand the image of these phrases that Paul uses. Paul says, who gave himself for us? That's an interesting phrase. You need to understand what that means. When he says, who gave himself for us, it's a reflection of what Jesus did on Calvary. God gave his son, and his son gave his life. When God looks at it, God is saying, I gave myself for you. Here's the image. Christmas and birthday, many of you gave me and Trudy a wonderful gift. We received numerous of them. I still have some, can't wait to use, because I don't want to blow it all in just one small time. You gave us gift cards. Thank you. Now let me tell you what a gift card is. A gift card, somebody went somewhere and took a card and paid a certain amount, gave it to the cashier. The cashier then put on the card that designated amount. Then you walked out of the store. Some of you put it in a card. Some of you put it in a letter. Some of you put it in my hand. It works either way. But now, because of what someone else did, in my hand, I have the ability to walk in some places and get anything I want within the limit of that card. And when I get ready to walk out, I don't go in my pocket to get my money. I get to hand them the card. And I get blessed because of what somebody else paid. You should have been shouting. Because on Calvary, the Lord God gave you and me the greatest gift card that we could ever have. It gives us, when we believe what he did and accepts it by faith, what it does, it gives us access. Have I got a witness here? Watch this. Not to a store, per se. It gives me access to God in a brand new relationship as my Father. It's better than Dillard's. It's better than Macy's. It's better than Amazon. Because when I have a relationship with God, good God Almighty, I got it. Did I say everything? I got everything I need because I'm in a relationship with him. Listen to what Paul says. Listen to how he phrased it. He gave himself for us. Here's the second one. That he might redeem us. That word redeem, redeem, redeem. The word redeem gives the picture that somebody is being held hostage. And you ain't gonna get released unless somebody pays the price. God sent his son, and his son paid the price. Here's the picture of redemption. You got to have a receipt. You got to have a receipt. Somebody gave me another precious gift, and I love it. I'm getting it all together. I'm going to wear my outfit as soon as I get my pants hem. But here's what he told me. He said, if it don't fit, you got a receipt because you can go and get an exchange. In other words, if you need something else, you can get something else. They'll release it to you based on having the receipt. Through Christ Jesus, Satan had all of us. And Jesus paid the price. And now we have a receipt that can be offered to Satan, that God offers to Satan so that we can be released. Gift card. Receipt for release. Here's the third one. That he might redeem us from what? Here's what Paul says. You got to be redeemed. That he might redeem us. Watch the text closely. From all iniquity. Now, there are numerous words as it relates to sin, but the word iniquity is really translated lawlessness. It's translated lawlessness. Iniquity is the fact where God has established the line, the boundaries, and we see the boundaries, but we don't care. It means it's a person that knows what's right and wrong, and they don't give a care. They're lawless. They step over the line and do any old thing they want to do because they want to do it. And God, through his son Jesus Christ, is willing to redeem, forgive us and redeem us from all lawlessness. Y'all really ain't caught this. Let me put it like this. I know you're going to get this one. Buck wild. Y'all know what that is, don't you? Buck wild. And have the audacity to take pictures of it. Have the audacity to text it, tweet it. Have the audacity to declare living my best life. Buck wild. Have the audacity, no shame in my game. There's another text where Paul says, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. What he's really saying is, folk, we live in a day where folk brag about what they should be ashamed of. God has redeemed us from all iniquity. Now watch this. He redeems us from iniquity, but then he doesn't leave us like he found us. Aren't you glad? Same verse. And purify us. Y'all getting a good vocabulary test lesson today. Here it is. Here it is. Purify. It's translated in the New Testament to make clean. To make clean. Okay, I'll go ahead and do this one first. To make clean, we were sinful, dirty. God takes us as we were, and then he makes us clean. But he does it through a paradox. Grandmama and them, old school, we used to sing a song, "What can wash away my sin?" That's what the lead singer would say, and the congregation would answer, "What can make me whole again?" And the congregation would say, and then the lead and the congregation would say together, "Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow." They thought about it and said, "No other fount I know. What can do it? Nothing but the." It's a paradox. How can blood cleanse when typically blood stains? He purifies us through the. It means to make clean. Here's another one. It means to pronounce clean. Pronounce clean goes to that Levitical term. You remember that dude who was leprous and he hollered at Jesus and Jesus hollered back at him? Because in algebra, what you do on one, you remember how I preached that? What you do on one side, you got to do the same on the other side. And so the intensity of the holler, because he had to stay a certain distance because he was unclean, and he hollered out at Jesus, and then Jesus hollered back at him, and then the last thing Jesus did when he hollered back at him was, "Go show yourself to the priest," because the rule was, you ain't clean until the priest checked you out and then pronounced you. He had to pronounce you clean. And then you get to go into the community, and if anybody want to throw out what you used to be, you could say, "But the priest said, I am now clean." Because when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, God declares us righteous. There's another legal term that goes with it as well, justified. Griffin, let me tell you how awesome that word justified is. Justified doesn't mean that it didn't do it. Justified means that I'm declared not guilty because somebody else has already paid the penalty. Okay. Some of y'all still ain't getting it. Okay, let me do it like this. Okay, you remember when you used to go to the dentist back in the day? And back in the day, when I went to the dentist, they would have instruments that were used. In other words, they didn't use no brand new instrument just because I was there. There were picks and all that kind of stuff that scare you half to death when they say open. And they would have them in a little envelope. The envelope was about this wide and about so long. They would have them in the envelope, and they had them in the envelope because it had been used on somebody else. But then they had this machine called an autoclave. And an autoclave is something special because just washing it in the sink ain't good enough. Because you can still end up with germies on the instrument if you just wash it with regular old soap and water. Don't know who invented it. You check it out when I'm done preaching. Not now. Don't Google it now. You check it out when I'm done preaching. They came up with a thing called autoclave. It's a little instrument. It's a machine. Usually it was silver. It was sitting on the counter. Sometimes it would have a tray. Sometimes it wouldn't. But they would put it in there, seal it, turn it on. And what would happen on the inside, there would be a high heat and great pressure. High heat, great pressure. Because it had to get hot enough to kill all the germs. Pressure to help sterilize it so that there's absolutely nothing left from the last person it was used on that can hurt you. And then they would take it out, and now the instrument is fit to be used on somebody else without doing them harm. Come on now, I can't do no better than that. What does he do for us? He takes us just as we are, and through his word puts us under high pressure and heat to purify us, sterilize us, so that we can be a vessel used to help somebody else without doing them any harm. Here we go, I finally made it. Boy, took me a minute, but I finally got to where I'm trying to go. He does all of that so that he purifies unto himself, here it is, a peculiar people. Peculiar people. Now I know that when we use the word peculiar, we think weird. Peculiar. That's a good one. Different. Peculiar. Small bus. Peculiar. Crazy. But when God uses the word peculiar, it's translated a little different. Matter of fact, this word is used 7 times in Scripture. 4 times, it's connected with the word people, peculiar people. The other 3 times, it's connected to peculiar treasure. And sometimes the treasure is the people. But it's still translated the same. Look, here's what peculiar is. Peculiar is the idea, it's the thought that God has made a decision. And what God has done is God has decided to seek. He does seeking. He's seeking for a people among other people that he can acquire for himself. I'm gonna rewind. God's made a decision to seek among all the people because he wants a people that he can have for himself. Do it one more time. God has made up his mind. There's something he wants to do. And so he's seeking. Let me do it like this. He's shopping for some people. Question, where does God shop? If you got all the silver, and all the gold, diamonds, and pearls, where would you shop? I heard you. Somebody said, I'd go to New York. Somebody else said, well, if I had that much, I'd go to Dubai. I got one friend, he was offended one time. We were talking, I asked him, where did he get that suit? It looked like a Bacharach suit. And Ron, he looked at me as if to say, I don't buy nothing off the rack. Made me feel like a little country preacher, which is what I is. Where would you shop? If God is looking for some people, where does he go to find people that's fit to be in his house? Maybe. Would he go to the university? He'd get some smart people. Oh, no. Would he go to the seminary? Oh, no. Maybe he does. He could if he wants to. I'm not saying he can't. He can shop anywhere he wants to. But you and I really know where he shops. Come on, it's Sunday morning. We in church. Come on, let's tell the truth. I'm not going to pass the mic, but I do know some places that he's found us. He didn't find me at the altar. He didn't find us in the worship sanctuary and all of that. No. If I knew I was had to preach this 40 years later, shoot. I know I got the mic. Go on, tell it, Reverend. Okay. Lamont, put your fingers in your ears. There's some places I was parked. and you can't drive from the front seat. But I ain't the only one that got found. But that's the kind of place where he shops. Somebody was at the house where they... I'm trying to leave this point, but I'm waiting for y'all to say, to quit looking at me like I'm the only one on the stand. Keep on, I'm going to get a mirror. I'm going to put a mirror right all over them, right over there. And I'm going to tilt it down so y'all can see what I see. But the truth is, he doesn't shop at Dillard's. He doesn't shop at Macy's. He doesn't shop at the universities. He can if he want to, but he finds us in hedges and highways and gutters. Yes, sir. Aren't you glad that when you read the Bible, Jesus is spending more time on the outside than he is in the church on the inside? Because he is trying to get him some peculiar people. He seeks and he shops. And then he makes selections from stuff most of us would pass over. He picks folk that they don't even think they're worthy. And the truth is, when you reach the point where you know you ain't worthy, that's about the time you're worthy. Because it's the issue of humility, not that you're trying to, you can't earn your way to get picked by God, but God loves you enough to be willing to embrace, and he welcomes a surrendered soul. He selects us, not at our best, but he selects us, we even at our worst. Let me finish this sermon like this. I've learned to thank God for some simple things. I've learned to appreciate God. Sometimes I'll fall asleep on my sofa. We got a recliner. It reclines a couple of places. And sometimes after I get home and get a little something to eat, I think I'm going to watch TV. There's one of my favorite throws. A few years ago, one of my beloved daughters, she made me a throw, and I like this one because it's long enough. When I lean back, I can throw it over my feet, and it stretches over my feet all the way up to my neck. And I get my hand out with the remote control just enough. And I get to Netflix. And y'all, I'll be honest, sometimes I'm asleep before I can even hit the movie. But I like it. And then when I wake up to go to bed, and I get up and I fold it. And I like to fold it up. And one of the things I do in my ritual, I like to fold it. And while I fold it, it's a time where I can whisper a prayer and thank God for covers. It's a good time to say, because if you've been in a situation where you didn't have no good covers, if you ever been in a situation where you weren't warm, if you ever been on a chair that wasn't comfortable, you didn't have the benefit of remote control. You were the remote control. I just want to thank God. Say, God, I sure thank you for some good, clean covers. Amen. But my favorite, that's one of my favorites, but my favorite is one of these over, it's this over here. This is one of my favorites. Now, this right here. Now, this is this right here. Now, let me tell you up front, you can't have it. It ain't for sale. I like this thing. That's enough, y'all. That's enough. Y'all got the picture. Y'all got the picture. I said, God, how can I help them to understand what you meant by peculiar? I went to bed and, God, how can I give me something to show them? What do you mean by peculiar? And I heard someone say, psst, psst. And lo and behold, the quilt talked to me. If you don't remember nothing else, know for a fact that God is serious about acquiring a peculiar people for himself. He's made up his mind to do it. Let me tell you, he ain't thinking about doing it. He doesn't have a committee studying to do it. He had already made up his mind. This is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to make me a peculiar people to help me bring more people to the kingdom. And so he's seeking. Now, I told you the question, he's seeking and shopping. Well, what kind of garment would God look for? He doesn't look for garments. He could buy a whole one if he wanted to. But the God we serve, you know what he does? It don't make sense to me. He'll take scraps. I know this ain't a down. This ain't a comforter. I know y'all got downs, comforters and all of that, feather blankets and all that kind of stuff. Hey, God ain't interested in that. He likes scraps. And the truth is, that's all this is. It ain't nothing but a whole bunch of scraps that have been selected. See, the truth is, these scraps was a part of something else. And whatever else the other what they were a part of, it either got too little or it got stained or it got tore or it got old. And what it used to be, the person didn't want it no more. And they threw it away. And there's a beloved little lady who was a member of our church. She took what other folk discarded. And even though it had a torn part, she still saw purpose in it. Because all these things really are, they're pieces of a whole that had been selected. Here's what he did. Here's what he did. He selects them. He seeks them. He selects them. And then he shapes them and secures them. And one piece is connected to the other. And I know there's brown here. There's a strawberry here. There's checkers here. And for some folk, it don't look all that cute. But it wasn't designed to be cute. God ain't trying to make cute people. He's making a peculiar people. And he likes diversity. It ain't about do we match. The question is, do we please him? And the whole picture of that of peculiar is the idea that God seeks a people and selects people. Among all the people that they are, he offers and extends this opportunity for people to become a part of his family, and then he secures them. He knits them together. He sews them together. And here's the last thing he does. After he sews them together, the text says, and zealous for good works. Because here's what he does. He does all of this, and then he shows it off. He shows it off. Because the picture is, when you see this, when you see his church, when you see the body of Christ, when you see all the people that God picks and how he cleans them and knits them together and sews them together and binds them together, and then he turns around and shows them off, he shows them off so that the world can see what God does with scraps. That's all we are. A peculiar people that he has picked and secured for himself. He does this not so that we can walk around and brag. No, he does this for himself. Not so that we can stand and talk about, I did this and I did that, look at me. No, it's for himself. And the quilt should never be bragging about itself. It ought to be boasting about the one who put them together. Yeah. It's for himself. The peculiar, the definition of peculiar is really tied to this because it's something that he has done for himself. Now, my baby brother, he's been coming down here a long time. And I keep telling him, you're not coming to a hotel, and this is not room service. But he's been doing this all his life. He has a way of when somebody, he does it at my mama's house. He has a way of when somebody has set out some food, he thinks that it's also for him. And he'll walk by, stretch. He won't get it all. He's kind, but he's going to stretch. And he's going to get a couple. And we came in yesterday, and I said, Lamont, now, there's apples, there's bananas, there's stuff here. There's whatever you want. You're not a guest. Anything you want. Anything you want. And I sliced myself some Dear summer sausage, sliced it thin, because I got some new knives for Christmas. Got them in a little container and my crackers, and then some yogurt with some blueberries and a little banana. And I went across the room to get my Yeti cup. It's going to circle back, fill it with water, and then I'm headed downstairs. The problem with having a big room is you can't be both places at the same time. And when I turned around, he's doing his walk, stretching. And I said, hey, 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 hey. All of that is in the refrigerator. Hey. It didn't stop him from moving. And while he's still eating, he said, oh, this is for you? I said, yes. That was for me. He said, oh, my bad. I'm done. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. The good God we serve, he's done a whole lot of things. But one of the things, when it relates to peculiar, he's doing that for himself. Do you know why he's so zealous? Because he saved you for himself. He sealed you for himself. He's raised you for himself. He gives you gifts for himself. He opens doors for you for himself. He's using you to his glory, and he's doing it for himself. That's why he won't let the devil at you, because you belong to him. That's why you're the head and not the tail, because you belong to him. There are some things that he sets aside just for himself. This is what he has in mind. He had in mind to take something that was discarded and by his grace and mercy make it useful again. And he shows it off so that the world can know what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be a peculiar child of God, to be used by him. So to God be the glory for the things he has done. Put an amen right there if you can.